We are in a series called One Anothering, and there are some 59 One Anothering passages in the Scripture, and this morning it's spurring one another on to love and good deeds. When I saw that, it came to my heart and mind that there was someone in our one of our covenant partners that I would love to have you hear from this morning. Dr. Jane, would you come up here? Dr. Jane Goldman grew up in Upper Arlington, Ohio, as a young child, fell in love with Jesus and wanted to serve him, and was torn, is that a good way, on how to exactly do that.
Okay.
And so because you have this kind of dual path you've been on. You are a medical, you're a pediatric doctor at Nationwide Children, serving low-income families. So you do it kind of as a satellite community with tied into that. You are, were you an associate professor at Ohio State as a medical, teaching medicine. And so there's that path. But there was a time that the Lord called you to go to seminary. So you went off to Trinity Evangelical Seminary in Chicago. And Dr. Coleman, who wrote Master Plan of Evangelism, saw in you, you became his teaching assistant. And so you not only got your MDiv from Trinity, and then you followed him to Massachusetts, to Gordon Conwell Seminary, where you have your doctorate of ministry in evangelism? Is it, or what was it kind of
leading
tied in with
leading and living
you?
Out the Great Commission.
Leading and living out the Great Commission. So maybe you grew up with Dr. Coleman's book, Master Plan of Evangelism. It was the book to read in the 70s and the 80s, and it is still in print today. So you have these two paths. You've been a United Methodist preacher on the staff of the United Methodist Church. So you see this, and so you're tying all this together, your faith. You are an author. I found it this morning.
Oh, you Google me.
I Googled you. And you have a book, and you can still buy some. There are some that they're still in Amazon. Let me see. It is called Progress Notes. Whoops, oops. I will get that. Thank you very much, doctor. Okay. A Bible study guide for medical students and residents, Dr. Jane Goldman. And so you have taken medical students and residents under your wing, and you have taught them, spurred them on to love and good deeds. Is there something I have forgotten? Because there's pages and pages. Although you got an award from the some association in December, did you? And what award was that?
It was an award from the CDC on increasing vaccine rates for the HPV virus.
There you go. From the American Academy of Pediatrics. Oh, people are saying nice things about you everywhere. So, with all that in mind, she has 5 minutes to talk about loving Jesus and serving people. But as a covenant partner, we are thrilled. And you are in our Bible study. You are in our small group. Mm-hmm. And you are my friend.
Thank you.
So I'm going to pray for you.
All right.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this child of yours and her huge heart. And thank you for her education, and that it has spilled out in so many arenas around the world. And now, Lord, we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us through her. And we thank you that she is here. And so give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
So like Jerry said, we're in the middle of this series about one anothering, and today it's about stirring up each other to love and good deeds. And so I wonder, is there anyone in your life who has recently inspired you by his or her love and good deeds? Well, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, it's my brother. My brother, Bill, lives in New Hampshire, but he works in Austin, Texas. And so he's very busy. And when I call him, I'm never sure where he is. And so on a couple Saturday mornings, I was surprised because he was getting ready to donate platelets, or he had just finished donating platelets. Now, he does a lot of good. He helps people all the time, but he is not medical at all, and needles give him the heebie-jeebies. So I thought, oh my gosh, does he have a a friend or someone, a colleague, who is really sick and needs platelets. And so I asked him about this, and he said, nope. He said once he donated blood at work, and he realized it's no big deal, and someone challenged him to donate platelets. And he said, for one unit, you can save three people's lives. So he's been donating for about a year, and he's donated 4 gallons of platelets. And I thought, and he said it takes about 2 hours, and then afterwards you feel a little bit chilly. And he says he just goes home and takes a nap or hunkers down and watches some football. And so I said, you know, what's the hardest thing about donating platelets? And he goes, well, you have both arms straight out for 2 hours, and you can't scratch your nose. And and I thought, you know, it inspires me that my brother does this just because he can. So this morning, my aim is to stir you, to stir us up to love and good deeds. And I've asked the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, to stir us up. So let me ask you to be receptive. And let's open our hearts and minds to receive all that God has for us this morning. Please pray with me. Father God, we come to you in confidence and full assurance that you hear our prayer. Because of our great high priest, Jesus, who has opened up a way for us. Give us ears to hear you speak through the proclamation of your word and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to be focusing in on verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The verse starts with, let us consider. And that's what I've been doing as I prepared this message, and now I invite you to join me. Let's consider how to stir one another up. Think about what inspires you to take action to love and good deeds. Well, for me and for many of us, I think it's being on the receiving end. You know, I think that's pretty powerful. When someone helps you in a time when you really need it and you want to pass it on. Well, once on the way driving from Children's Hospital to the Olentangy Clinic in busy rush hour traffic, I heard this, what sounded like a gunshot underneath my car, and so I quickly got over to the right-hand side of 670 in rush hour traffic and got out, and I'm stooping underneath my car to see what's going on, you know, and I realized, oh, it's a flat. And right at that time, there's this man standing next to me. I thought, where did you come from? And he said, ma'am, do you have a spare? And I thought, yeah. So he, you know, I popped open my trunk, he put that spare on for me, and I'm trying to get some money out to thank him. And he goes, no, I don't want any money, you just pay it forward. Well, I got in my car, I went to clinic, I wasn't even late. You know, that meant so much to me, and that was probably over 20 years ago. And I just thought, wow, it just means so much when somebody does something out of kindness for no reason, but just because you need help. So one of the things that stirs us up is being on the receiving end and experiencing the love and good deeds. Well, you know, as Christians, we are all on the receiving end. Amen? I mean, what marks us as Christians is the love of God, the forgiveness we have received through Christ. And that is actually the context for this verse. Backing up to get a broader perspective on this passage, we see it is a conclusion to what has been said and laid out before it. And our clue is the therefore. The writer of Hebrews has been building up to this exhortation, this practical outworking of the love of God. And so what comes before the therefore? Well, this chapter starts off talking about the law and the sacrifices required by the law for forgiveness of sin. We no longer need those repetitive sacrifices for our sin. They never really did the job because the sacrifices had to be repeated year after year. And so it kind of came to be a reminder of our sin. But Jesus, our best and our greatest high priest, made the final, the once for all, the penultimate sacrifice for our sin. He himself was our sacrifice. And you can see in verse 14 of chapter 10, it says, which made perfect forever those being made holy. That's us. Made perfect forever. You know, then he sat down. It is finished. The Holy Spirit testifies to our heart and our mind that we have been forgiven. How awesome is that? That is the first part of this chapter and leads up to this conclusion. So this is the context. Love and good deeds are the natural outworking, the evidence of a Christ follower. So it's the love of God that we have experienced through Christ that captures our hearts and then overflows to love and good deeds for others. In verse 24, the let us consider is the work of love. As we consider and encourage one another, we're doing so because of love. You know, only love awakens love. It takes love to stir up love. We are constantly stirring each other up to something, right? So why not love and good deeds? So in considering how to stir up love and good deeds, I considered that there are many people who do good deeds for many different reasons, and not all of them are motivated by love. We can do good without the love. You know, some people do good to gain respect or admiration. It looks good on a resume. Sometimes people do good to outdo somebody else. It's kind of a competition motivated by pride. Others may be driven by guilt. You know, one year I volunteered to ring the bell, the Salvation Army bell, up on at Kroger's on Bethel Road with some other Bethelites. And as I was ringing the bell, you know, Merry Christmas, you know, this man's leaving the store and he comes up to me and he goes, how'd you get this gig? And I thought, you know, I was kind of clueless. And then I realized the perception is that you may be court-ordered to ring that bell as community service. And, you know, so that's another reason people do good deeds. They are court-ordered to. Now, sometimes you're required to. Your school, your college, even some people where they work, they are expected to volunteer. And, you know, volunteering to do good deeds does develop character and instill values. But that is not what I'm talking about today. Good deeds done without love is kind of noisy. It's kind of like what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Well, this morning, I am not talking about good deeds done apart from love. As a matter of fact, I want to introduce you to a new word. Now, this might be a Greek New Testament term. Don't Google that, please. I'm not sure, but next slide. Love and good deeds. Love and good deeds. Ah, I'm sorry. My slide did not turn out. There you go. There you go. Love and good deeds. And here it is in a sentence. Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. I want it to be one word. Do not separate the syllables. Because this morning, I am not talking about love and good deeds. I want it to be all one thing. Love and good deeds. This is just one word. Please say it with me. Love and good deeds. Love and good deeds. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So something else that spurs us on to love and good deeds, besides being on the receiving end, is seeing an example. So this morning, I'm going to share with you several examples of my faith heroes who really are great examples of love and good deeds. So John Wesley, you know, with my Methodist roots. John Wesley was an amazing man, and this is a quote that is often incorrectly attributed to John Wesley. So Wesleyan scholars say that it is nowhere to be found in his writings. But I did read that he did write do all possible good to all people. But what is really more important is this quote describes John Wesley to a T. So I have to give you a heads up that this quote calls for a rap rhythm. So here we go. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. You know, and that is just what he did. And he did this by example, and he spurred others on to do the same. So John Wesley, he struggled with doubts of his faith. And so he went to this small group meeting held by some Moravians in London, and that's where he had this famous now experience where he felt his heart strangely warmed. Someone was reading Luther's words, Martin Luther's preface to the book of Romans, and they were reading about how we are forgiven but for sin by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's when, boom, you know, it kind of sunk in and he felt the Holy Spirit. And that is when he moved from more of an outward form of religion, trying to do good works in order to be accepted by God, to more of an inward form of religion, where he began to do good works because his heart had been transformed by this experience that he had with God. And that is the kind of love and good deeds that I am talking about this morning. So, J.W. and his brother Charles went on to start this revival within the Church of England. And this movement reached out to the poor, and it helped them both spiritually and physically. They cared for widows, orphans, prisoners, sick, and poor. He was so overwhelmed by the number of poor people who were so sick that their family was ruined that he ended up starting free clinics in Bristol and London. He wrote a medical textbook that went through 23 editions in his own life. And he said his purpose was to set down cheap and easy medicines, easy to be known, easy to be procured, and easy to be applied by plain, unlettered men. You know, God bless him. He died a poor man, not because of misfortune or not because of mismanagement of his money. He planned it that way. He decided when he was young he would keep his expenses low and give the rest away. Well, I don't know if you have ever tried to return a rental car empty. It's very difficult to do. You know, I tried that and I learned. Now I always check the box to return it full. But he determined to die with very little money. But he had a lot of books because he was a scholar. And so he had to just accept the fact that he would die with a lot of books. But other than that, he wasn't going to die with much money, and he didn't. He died with the coins in his pocket because he gave it all away. He laid up treasures in heaven. So you can see why John Wesley was an amazing example of love and good deeds. Love and good deeds that come from a heart that had experienced God's love. So, number one, love and good deeds requires love. So let's take a moment and consider good deeds done for reasons other than love. If we are honest, we acknowledge that most of us have mixed motives. They are not pure, and so we sometimes do things partly because we care, but also it may help us in some way. It might be a little bit self-serving. Our pride can get in the way. We sometimes do good deeds to please someone else. So our good deed is more about us than really serving someone else. And when we do this, the someone that we are supposedly helping sometimes feels like a project, which is not really a very good feeling at all. You know, many religions prescribe good deeds. Often these acts of charity are done to earn favor with other people or with God or the gods. We do good deeds as penance because we can't forgive ourselves. We do good to make up for the bad that we did, hoping we can kind of even the score. We may think we're being humble. We think that we are too horrible, or we have done so much bad that not even God can forgive us. Wow, that is a lot of power if we think that our bad is greater than God's good, than his ability to forgive us. So once again, we're relying on ourselves to earn our standing before God and acceptance by others. But God wants to forgive us, and God loves us in the midst of our sin. In order to do love and good deeds, we need humility. Humility is about is about not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, from Romans 12. It's a God perspective, and I really like this quote by James Ryle. Humility is the God-given assurance that eliminates the need to prove to others the worth of who you are and the rightness of what you do. When we take a position of humility before God, we get out of the way, and He is able to use us powerfully for love and good deeds, all to His glory. Jimmy Carter is another example of love and good deeds done in humility. First of all, he has taught Sunday school for years, and at 94, he is still teaching Sunday school. You gotta love that. But what really endears Jimmy Carter to me is that one of his life goals is to outlive the guinea worm. So, for the past 35 years, he has dedicated his life to neglected diseases around the world. You know, many parasitic diseases have been eliminated from our world, from the developed world. But in the poorest parts of the world, these diseases are devastating to individuals and to the economy of villages and countries. The guinea worm is a parasite that's contracted through contaminated drinking water, and it grows to be about 2 feet in length, and it causes a lot of pain and, like I said, economic loss. It has been eradicated from 26,500 villages and remains in 16. So 3.5 million cases down to 25. Jimmy Carter, our 39th president of the United States, said that one of his most gratifying moments of his life, and I'm sure he has many to choose from, occurred when he was visiting Nigeria. And his motorcade was going through, and so they released all the elementary school children, and they had all made these cardboard signs. And he read this one sign that said, "Watch out, guinea worm, here comes Jimmy Carter." You know, it is rare in our day and age to see a powerful politician with such humility. Humility is essential to love and good deeds because it is all about serving others. Christ says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So, in order to spur one another on to love and good deeds, we need love, we need humility, and we need perseverance. The Bible says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart." Galatians 6:9. You know, we are warned about not getting weary because it is a common problem. That's why we need each other, and that's why we are exhorted to consider how to stir one another on to love and good deeds. It can be exhausting, and not just physically exhausting, but emotionally exhausting. When I'm feeling weary of well-doing, it's a reminder that I'm not the generator, right? Jerry has been talking to us about this for a couple of weeks. I'm the conductor. We sometimes think that we are the generator that produces the love, and that is a heavy burden. We are just the wires, the conductors. We need to stay plugged into the generator. When we do good without the love, we grow weary. Good deeds done to impress or to earn God's favor, they wear us down. I have one more hero of love and good deeds, a heroine, really, Mother Teresa. Listen to this story about Mother Teresa, who truly persevered in her love and good deeds. When Mother Teresa spoke on campus at Harvard, after her lecture, there was a question from a young woman. "I so respect the work you do to help the sick and the poor. My friends and I are equally passionate about helping those in need, and have spent the last several years doing so. But I find it difficult to hear your insistence on bringing Jesus into the discussion. I do not need Jesus to want to do the right thing." Mother Teresa paused, and she gently asked, "How old are you?" The woman responded, 26. Mother Teresa smiled. "I'm nearly 90. I've been doing this my entire life. Try loving, serving, and caring for the poor as long as I have, and then tell me you don't need Jesus." Loving good deeds is all about Jesus. Think about it. Love, humility, perseverance. That is who Jesus was and is. The Bible says that God so loved. He so loved the world, that's us, you and me, that he gave. He gave and gave and gave. He gave his only son. That is love. And then humility. God taking the form of man, a baby, and then being mocked, despised, taking on the shame and the sin of the world, hanging on a cross, not fighting back. That is humility. Perseverance. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. His love conquered sin and death. He lives to intercede for us still. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Loving good deeds. Loving good deeds requires Jesus in us. If you haven't met him yet, you will. I'm confident. You will, because his love will find you out. His love perseveres. You cannot outrun him. Your sin cannot disqualify you, because his love is greater than our sin. And you know, maybe I've been preaching to the choir this morning. Maybe you have been doing love and good deeds and you are at your capacity. Or maybe you are no longer able to help in the way you once did. Well, tell your story. We need to hear it. Stir up the rest of us. You know, each season has its challenges, but the love of God compels us to love and good deeds at every season of our life. It may be a prayer, it may be a kind word, it may be someone who listens. God knows we have a shortage of all of these. We can stir up one another by our example. We can stir up one another by an invitation. You know, some of us just need a little nudge, and we don't know where to plug in, or we feel more comfortable serving alongside others. Well, that's what this series is about, one another. So I've included some ideas for you if you've been inspired, and it's on a handout you can pick up at the back of the church at the end of the service. These are suggestions that ways to help here at our church, ways to help in our community, ways to help overseas. These are all things that Bethel has committed to. But first, before you look over that list or decide where you might fit in, sit with Jesus. Sit and listen. Ask him where. You know, what does the love of God look like in you? How does the love of God manifest itself through your life? Listen. See where he directs you. Love and good deeds. Compelled because of Christ's love and good deeds. Love, humility, perseverance. Do all the good you can to all the people you can for as long as ever you can. For his glory, amen.